NG Poland and JS Poland conferences are coming soon. This year promises to be exceptional. We will see the Angular team on the stage. We will see Quick Creator, Solid JS Creator, experts from Google, Microsoft, Amazon, Cisco, Auth0, and many, many more. Join an amazing group of developers like you today. Let's come together to celebrate Angular and JavaScript. Go to ngpoland.pl and sign up now. What's up, everyone? This is Dariusz Kalbarczyk, co-founder of NG Poland, JS Poland, AngularMaster.dev, and WorkshopFest.dev. Welcome back to the JavaScript Master Podcast. Today, we've got a special guest from London, UK. MC, speaker, trainer, community leader, ladies and gentlemen, Gerard Sams. Hi, Gerard. How are you?
Hello. Hello, Darek. I'm very good.
Okay, so for those who don't know you yet, please tell us about yourself.
Well, I'm Gerard Sams. I'm a developer evangelist for web and cloud. And I've been doing some research on artificial intelligence and Web3 for the last year. And I'm here to share some of my learnings.
Opening question. Will AI replace our jobs?
Well, this is for some people a very scary time. We have seen a lot of improvements in the last few years, and some of them affect how people approach their jobs. And probably the most significant changes has happened on text to image generation. And this is where we use a prompt and an AI is able to generate images from scratch. And we have seen crazy improvements there. These AIs can generate illustrations, can generate photorealistic images, and it just gets better and better. And a lot of people working as a designers or maybe as a digital artist, they can see that their jobs are on the line. And there's no clear separation of what we as people will accept from a digital artist or from maybe an AI artwork.
Which of these are more likely to be affected? Writers, artists, or developers?
Well, that's something that it's been very surprising for me. I started looking at some of the text that AIs were able to create. And this is very similar to what I was explaining from images, but with text. And the idea behind this is that these AI models have been trained using a very large amount of data and public books from the last few centuries. So this is anything from all the possible styles that you can imagine, commercial books, self-help, cooking recipes, but also philosophy, math, and all of the science. And if you think about big authors like Shakespeare or other popular authors in history, these are also in these models. So actually you can create text that resembles any of the most famous writers in the world, and of course, including marketing and any other areas. So that's one thing that if I was a writer, I would use these tools to maybe avoid what it's called the writer's block, so you can get inspiration of a history that you are kind of stuck, and you can get some text to continue a paragraph that you have written. But people is using this to generate anything from a blog post to cooking recipes or anything in between. So it's quite exciting, but also it's quite scary for different jobs like a technical writer or even a novelist. These are all in the line, and most people know about this technology, but they don't think that maybe as developers they will be affected by this. But it was only last year that OpenAI released Codex, which is the model behind GitHub Copilot, and it's able not only to write code from scratch, but also do refactors, which is basically anything that you need as a developer. You can write the code and then iterate over it as many times as you need. And this is what these tools are doing today. So it's quite a new era of AIs, I would say.
This is crazy. So
completely insane.
So what is OpenAI?
OpenAI is a company that was founded by Elon Musk, Sam Altman, and Greg Brockman. And what they say about their mission is that they want to build a safe artificial general intelligence that benefits all humanity. And they created OpenAI back in 2015 as a nonprofit company. And it took them a few years until 2018 to create the first GPT model, which is a generative pre-trained transformer. But then they went ahead and published a public API, which was in 2020. Which is when everyone started trying this technology. And they discovered many applications. The initial ones were around writing, but they also discovered that GPT-3 was able to code JavaScript. And that was when they started working in Codex, which was released on 2021. So this is a very recent technology. It just been around for a couple of years, and the progress is just fantastic.
What products are being offered today?
There are three different products, and the one that I was talking at the beginning is GPT-3, and this is the model that is able to generate text. And the way it will work is that we provide a prompt, and GPT-3 will continue that prompt in a way that makes sense with the actual text that he founds. And you can use that, for example, to create a story, but it has also been used to follow a conversation. And this is some of the things that were not planned. This model was created to generate text and predict the next word following a prompt. But then they realized that this model could identify patterns like a series of questions and answers, and then that would start giving you answers back in a way of a conversation. And they found that GPT-3 was able to do a lot of different things. You can, for example, ask GPT-3 for cooking recipes. You can ask for how to cook a certain meal, and GPT-3 will give you the ingredients and how to cook it. And that's not really a text generation anymore in the sense of writing a story or writing a book, but it's more like identifying a pattern, identifying a question, and providing an answer to that question, which was completely unexpected for the scientists that were building these models. But then they started doing more tests, and they identified a lot of different usages for GPT-3. And that was kind of the beginning. One of the things that they realized using GPT-3 is that it could actually write HTML and JavaScript. And that brings the second product from OpenAI, which is Codex. When they realized that GPT-3 was able to write JavaScript, they train GPT-3 only with source code. So that was when OpenAI contacted Microsoft, and Microsoft gave access to GitHub, and they parse, I think, 59 million repositories, and it learned a list of 12 different languages, including SQL and Bash commands.
Well said. What is GPT-3 trying to solve?
Well, GPT-3 was a natural language processing model that was intended to generate text. And the idea behind was taking the prompt and trying to guess what will be the next word that follow that prompt. The thing is, you can repeat that sequence, so you can generate as many words as you need, and then that will be the main operation for GPT-3. So you can provide a text as an input, and then it can provide any number of words. Usually what you would do is give it a stop sequence. So, for example, a new line will be the stop sequence, so it will stop after the first paragraph. But you can create complex patterns as a chat. So you can make a question and answer text, and GPT-3 will follow that. Or you can ask for instructions, and it will provide the instructions to achieve a goal, like cooking a recipe.
Cooking recipe sounds so weird for me. Created by AI? No.
It's quite new. The idea behind is that these models are very large models. And GPT-3 is actually 175 billion parameters large. It's the size of the whole model. But that means that it has more parameters than the size of the atoms of the universe. So this is a very big model that we cannot imagine. And it has a lot of things inside. And of course, one of the things it has is cooking recipes. But this is not the most weird thing that you can find inside this model, because it literally codes in JavaScript. But not only JavaScript. I was mentioning some of the languages it learned, but it has learned TypeScript, JavaScript, Python, Ruby, Go, C#, Swift, Rust, PHP. All of these languages, after just a little bit less of half a terabyte of information. But this is also not the most weird thing. Probably the most weird thing is that it can speak more than 100 languages when it was only trained in English, which is also very surprising. Some languages GPT-3 learned with less than 1% of data, which I don't think nobody knows how that happened. It was supposed to learn English, but because there were like some, you know, in the data, in the training data, it took information from different sources. And one was a common crawl. So it took the top 1,000 websites in Alexa, and it took all the content, and that's how it learned JavaScript, because a lot of the raw content of a common crawl is HTML and JavaScript. But then it also took hundreds of years of public books. And funny enough, it also took the information from Reddit. So there's a lot of information from users and the links that these users provided. So there's anything, any information you can imagine is in there. And then probably one other resource that was in the training data was Wikipedia. So anything that is in Wikipedia is also knowledge of GPT-3. So it's a massive amount of data. And yeah, it can do funny things like translate between languages. So you can write something in French and it can give you the translation in Polish. Why not? It's completely insane. And if you look at the complexity of a language like English, then you can understand how it's able to learn JavaScript, because JavaScript is much easier than English. Really? Yeah, exactly. But if it has learned languages like Japanese, how? The question is more like how it learned Japanese with almost no information. And we're going to see more. I think that this is just at the beginning, and we haven't seen all the power. I mean, we have seen a little bit. We have seen like the tip, and because people hasn't got time to experiment, we are talking of something that it's massive. In artificial intelligence, that's called latent space. So this space of 175 billion parameters is so big that you will not have time in your entire life to explore it. When we are talking about GPT-3 giving you cooking recipes, this is only a small grain of salt in the. Imagine if it was a beach, or maybe all of the beaches in the whole world. The sand, it will be just taking like a little grain of sand. I mean, this is nothing compared to the size of the whole GPT-3. So the idea that I want to share with all the people is that we haven't seen anything. I mean, we have seen some things that are surprising, because nobody was expecting a model to understand JavaScript. But now it's been more than half a year being used in production with GitHub Copilot, and the service is still running. So I guess it's working. So it's giving code to professional programmers around whatever they are building. I mean, that's very impressive.
You're listening JavaScript Master Podcast. Listen, code, repeat. Everything you need to know to become an JavaScript super developer.
What is Codex's main purpose?
For Codex is generating code. So we have talked about GPT-3 being able to write as Shakespeare, which is quite fun, but it can also write in any style that you can imagine. So if you can find enough information which GPT-3 can have been trained on, so it must be a popular writer. It cannot be someone that has not many books or materials. But for Codex, is anything that it's on GitHub, and part of the training was all of these 59 million repositories. So you can imagine that anything in GitHub, it will be there. So Codex can help you use all of these libraries. The only thing that you need to take into account is that Codex was trained with a snapshot. So it's not being trained daily, because it's a very expensive process, but it was trained last year. So there's a snapshot of last year, whatever was in GitHub last year. So that means that it's Angular version 13. It's not Angular version 14, because that happened after. The release was after. So anything that it's after the snapshot, Codex is not aware of.
What is DALL-E and how people are using it?
Well, DALL-E is probably the most popular of the three. DALL-E is everywhere. It's on social media, is on TikTok, is on Twitter every day. There's people that goes into DALL-E and generates an image. So you can see a new image every day if you follow these users. DALL-E is following this trend. So we have seen how these models generate text, how these models generate code, and this is exactly the same for images. The only thing that they did here is they took all the knowledge around languages. So everything that GPT-3 knows, DALL-E knows. That means that it's a writer. It's also a developer that knows all these 59 million GitHub repositories. But now it has this information mixed with images. And they have trained GPT-3 for DALL-E with around 400 million images, which is completely insane again. And the main feature that it can generate any sort of images following the same as GPT-3 and Codex, you need to provide a prompt, and then from this prompt it will generate the image following the instructions. And this is very surprising, because you can not only generate image from scratch, but you can also edit images and give instructions. So for example, one of the experiments that I did recently was to create a photorealistic picture of a woman, which can create no problem for DALL-E. So it creates the picture following all your instructions. You can provide information from the composition, how the model is positioned in the picture, what is the lining, what is the camera that it's being used. And I got something. No, I got the picture I was after. And then I changed the image and asked DALL-E to add a black leather jacket to the model. And it did. So you can ask things as if it was some kind of assistant that is helping you to create this setup. So you can ask things like add sunglasses to the model, or maybe add a scarf. But not only it will add these elements to the picture, but it will take into consideration the volume, it will take into consideration the lining, it will just place that item in the model and give you the resulting image, which is completely insane. And it cannot only do photography, because photography is probably the most difficult, but it can do pixel art, it can do 3D models, it can do games, it can do illustrations. Of course, photography is completely crazy, but you can do like drawings, like hand drawings. It's really something. It's really something else. People is also creating games, because games, usually when you need to create a 3D model object, it's quite a lot of work, and sometimes you need to create a texture. Imagine you are creating a castle, and there's some pattern in the walls, which is from rock. Or imagine there's something else. Maybe it's wood. It's a wood wall, and it's difficult for an artist to create this kind of textures. But you can give it to DALL-E, and it will create the texture for you. You can then use it in a 3D model. And in a few minutes, you have got everything, and you are ready to go. There's people building games like super fast these days.
That sounds really amazing.
Yeah, there's also some fancy use cases. One of them is, for example, now that I can see you in the call, I can see that you have like a sofa in the background. So you could take a picture. People is taking picture of a room, and you can ask DALL-E to add furniture. So imagine there's something missing. Maybe you want to add some artwork in the walls, like some pictures. So you can give this task to DALL-E, and it will just decorate your room in different styles if you want. People is also using DALL-E to recreate historic scenes. Like imagine you want a picture from Normandy, you know, Normandy when in the Second World War.
Yeah.
So you can ask DALL-E to give you a selfie from a soldier in Normandy. It's anything that you can imagine, DALL-E is able to use all the information that you give it. It's more like a creative director, and it just puts all the information it makes it work. Of course, the technology is very new. We are talking about a technology that last year didn't exist. So in just a year, it has done a lot of improvements. So we will see many, many other things happening in all of these different products. But DALL-E is probably the most, because it's visual, it's the most surprising.
Can you use OpenAI today? How would that work?
Well, there's an API that you can use. Some of the APIs are open to anyone. GPT-3 is completely open. Everyone just needs to go create an account and start using it. The only thing is that it's not for free, so you will have to buy some credits and then activate that access with the API key, like you do with other services. And then if you want to have access to Codex, you need to apply for a beta access, and also for DALL-E. DALL-E takes a little bit longer. So if you apply today, it will take a little bit longer. But you can use all of these technologies without any problem.
What are the benefits of using those tools? Are there any drawbacks?
I think the benefits today is that they will boost your efficiency. So some of the tasks that you can do with GPT-3, like for example, imagine you want to create a technical blog post, that will give you like a big boost. So if you needed 2 days to edit your text and go through different revisions, with GPT-3 you can probably do that in few hours or maybe in a couple of hours. With the other products, it may depend what is that you want to do. Sometimes the quality is not there yet, but you can use parts of the results of the outputs to speed up your project. So you can get more efficient. You can do things faster. I mentioned for gaming how they can create these textures that before it would have took days for digital artists to create. So it just depends on what exactly is that you want to use it for. But yeah, it's going to give you that productivity. As drawbacks, I would say that depending of how you use it, there's no easy way to know if the information that maybe GPT-3 is giving you, it may not be factual. So if you are writing a blog post and some of the information is not factual, it can bite you back because somebody will find out and then you will be embarrassed that you have used a source that is not a search. So it's not something that you can trust. So probably depending how much you rely on AI, you need to check the facts. You cannot just take the output from GPT-3 and use it in a publication, just release it. You will have to check the facts, or you may be embarrassed. For other things, it just depends what you try to do. Sometimes when you try to do something very complex, there's some issues with the technology. It's not perfect. So you can get some artifacts, for example, in DALL-E. When it creates an image, faces, like human faces and human models in the pictures, they don't look totally, they look odd at times. Sometimes you need to edit the pictures. So they are not all the time perfect. Like 100% perfect. But I think these errors or these drawbacks are going to be fixed. And then it's going to be much, much faster to use these tools.
The million-dollar question. What the future of AI may look like in 5 years?
I just did a talk around this topic, and I describe the AI revolution. So this is from the work of different people, and the first stage, it's called cognitive revolution. And what is the cognitive revolution? This is where we use AI assistants to get our job done faster. And depending on what you do, that will work best or not. I mean, even for GitHub Copilot, it's not that the tool is creating everything for you, but it's just giving you some kind of a productivity boost. Then the next step, which is a little bit more crazy, and it's probably not going to be that soon. So this one, using AI assistance, is going to be very soon. Some people is already using this today. But the next step is the robotics revolution. This means that we will see the first robots using AI and being autonomous. And maybe we have seen some of these autonomous robots. I think I saw the first one in Silicon Valley some years ago. They go around a building and they can give you information around what you can visit. But of course, this is not something that you can find everywhere. But in the future, we will see more examples of autonomous robots. And this is the second stage. The third stage is when AIs get smarter than humans. And this is called the singularity. And when we reach the singularity, this is similar to the character in Star Trek, Data. I don't know if you remember Data from Star Trek. This is a android that helps Star Trek characters when they struggle and they go into adventures, when they have questions about what they are seeing, like maybe there's some danger and they need to decide, make a decision if they go into a planet or not, then they will ask Data, and Data will be like some kind of super intelligent being that will give some advice in that situation. And this is similar also to the intelligence of a spook character. So these are some of the things that may happen in this AI revolution, and people is not certain when all of these different stages will happen, but there is a quote from Elon Musk that was from not long ago, and he said that we were going to be replaced by AIs in the next 5 years. So that's what Elon Musk has to say around this topic.
Do you think AI can help us build something we can't do ourselves for now, like a super engine for a rocket?
Oh yeah, definitely. Definitely, yes. What is happening is that with these models, we have created some kind of a super intelligence. Not in the sense of, because there's also the debate if they are sentient or if they are autonomous or if they are like some kind of a god entity. I mean, I don't think they are a god entity or anything like that. But the main thing is that they have all the information accessible at the same time. So one of these technologies that is being used behind the scenes is neural networks. And a neural network, it's not doing calculations. All the calculations are already done. And that's how these neural networks are so fast, that you can use them, for example, in self-driving cars and other systems. They are in the range of milliseconds of the response time. So they don't need to calculate. They are not, it's not working like a search. Imagine that some people think that these AIs, they work like a search engine. So they have a query and there's some computation and then it's coming back with an answer. But it's not actually working like that. The neural networks is more like a human. It's not even thinking. It's giving you the answer right away. When you use these systems, GPT-3 and Codex, it's not taking seconds, not even milliseconds, to answer back. And that means that all of the information is accessible to them, like right now. They don't have to think, because that's part of the training process, which is very expensive and it takes weeks. But when the training is finished, the model is already done. And that means that it has all the skills at the same time. So when you access GPT-3, you are talking to something that it has Shakespeare inside, but it also has everything else. It's also a developer, it's also a chemist, it's also a mathematician, it has everything. So when you ask him, for example, how we will build a rocket engine, it will give you the answer right away. It's not something that he needs to think, like, okay, I need to think now. He will give you the answer right now, the moment you ask. It's not going to tell you, oh, let me think about it, and next week I'll give you an answer. No, it gives you the answer right now. And this is for anything. When it looks at code, when it looks at an image or text, the model is giving you the answer in the same moment. So that means that it has access to all of the knowledge. All of the knowledge that it has been trained. Of course, if the information is not in the training data, it's not like it's a god. It's not a god, but it's very capable. It's like very, very capable. But it's not a god or some kind of a new a being. Yeah. But it has all of the information, the same as it could be Google, but it can work with the information. It's not only like a library where you have the information and then it retrieves the information for you. it has all the mix of all the information, and it has the results at that same moment. So it doesn't do calculations, intermediate calculations. So it's quite impressive. It's a new technology, and we are still discovering how we can use it.
So what's the conclusion?
Oh, the conclusion is that I don't see nobody knows what is happening with these models. But it's exciting because people find new use cases, and they find new things that you can use these models. And there has also been news around open sourcing some of these technologies, so you can use them in your projects. So that's also very exciting.
After all these discussions, can you give some advice to people who are starting their career in IT world today, and for those who are old timers?
I think a good advice is to keep your mind open, because everything is changing. People think that things don't change, but in the area of AI, this is probably the better example. AI is not a area that has been changing a lot, and it's kind of an old area, but the discoveries done in the last few years, they have exploded, and this is new. It's not there. It's more like JavaScript, you know, the old JavaScript and the new JavaScript that happened a few years back. And people were surprised, like, oh, can you do this with JavaScript? I mean, before we didn't use JavaScript in this way. So that's a little bit of a new generation of AI. And this will change everything. And a lot of the jobs that we do today, they won't exist in the future. So if you are not retiring, if you are an old timer, you maybe still have 5, 10 years or 15 years more of career. I think you should look into what's happening in the blockchain, what's happening in Web3. Keep your mind open, because, I mean, we can become obsolete like very fast for the old timers. For the new generations, I think that they also need to be careful where they put their energy. Because if they put their energy learning a specialization, and then they realize that anyone could be able to use any technology because they will use AI assistants, they will be wasting time. Why you want to memorize things or understand things when an AI can help you and you can use the AI or anyone? So then it's not clear that you want to go through a specialization of 15 years and then find out that someone that has no specialization is using a tool that is making that, instead of 15 years, is just 5 years. So then you have lost 10 years learning something that it wasn't necessary. So that's something to be careful.
Let's change the subject a bit. How do you remember your last visit to Poland?
Oh, I remember as a crazy time. I mean, it's always fun, and it's more like a wheel. So it all starts for me because I was doing a workshop and also participating both in NG Poland and GS Poland. That was a crazy 3 days, and I really have a great time meeting all friends, and also people that comes and ask me questions. Probably the most surprising from last year was the award that I received for the community contributions to JavaScript. So that was very special. And then also all the fun we have in the backstage. And we also make jokes. And I remember that Darek put me in the spot a few times. And I was like, what's going on? I was going crazy because I didn't know what was happening. But this is also one of the things that I like from the conference.
My last question for today. What we can expect at your emceeing at ANG Poland and JS Poland 2022?
Oh, it's going to be full of surprises. And I think there will be some artificial intelligence coming, but I don't think I can share it with you at this time. But the experiments I've shared with Darek, and he was pretty surprised. So we'll see if I can make it happen during the conference. Otherwise, as always, I will make the attendees do something. It could be jumping, it could be doing a squat. I don't know. We'll do the Mexican wave. I mean, who knows what will happen on the day.
Gerard, thank you so much for joining today's podcast and sharing this exciting knowledge with us. I look forward to our meeting in Warsaw soon.
Yeah, thanks a lot for inviting me, and I'm really looking forward to another edition of the conference.
Thank you so much. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye, everyone.
Finally, please subscribe to our podcast, leave a like and a comment to help us continue to grow.